Good morning. Welcome to Myerstown Church, the Brethren, this morning. Pastor Dennis, it's good to have you with us this morning. This week, we want to be praying for those in our church directory on page 39. And we, as a congregation, are praying for the Spring Creek Church in Hershey. They need lots of prayers there, so just lift them up, okay? That's my home congregation, just in case you're wondering why I said that. No, they're doing fine. Cocalico is praying for us. And remember those that are on the prayer list. And Jackie Doner also is not on the list there, but she is in Wellspan, Lebanon, some variety of issues this week. So just keep Jackie in your prayers. Next Sunday, we'll be celebrating the baptism, service of baptism. Invite you to be here for that. And then pay attention to the announcements in the bulletin, but also wanted to draw your attention that on January 10th, Monday evening, we'll be starting a new Bible study session. We'll be studying the book of Daniel, and we'll be using a book for that. So if you would like to participate in that study, let me know so that I can get books ordered. Prefer knowing by December 12th if you'd like to participate in that Bible study. We come together on this first Sunday of Advent to worship. Let's join in this time of worship together.
gather around the Advent wreath in anticipation of the coming of Christ's child. Let us open our hearts to this time of holy waiting.
Today we light the first candle, the candle of hope. In our times of deepest darkness and despair, Christ came that we may have hope.
The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, and again Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the nations. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit."
As we light the candle of hope, let us open our hearts to Christ, in whom all things are possible.
Light of the world.
Those who may stand, if we could stand for the unison prayer, please. O God, we confess it is easy to be a naysayer rather than a beacon of hope. We regret the times when we have joined a course of negativity and despair rather than one lifting up words of comfort and hope. In this time of preparation, grant us the peace to look forward with hope. May this candle of hope be lit in our hearts, that we may bring hope to those who are living in darkness. We ask this in the name of the Child, who is come, giving hope to all. Amen.
And now our first hymn would be "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," 178 in the Blue Hymnal.
Come.
first scripture this morning is from Romans chapter 13, 11 to 14. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. And now I believe it's the praise team.
Stand for the next song and sing along, please.
I don't know.
And now if we could, bow our heads for a word of prayer.
Righteous Father, the maker of heaven and earth, God of all flesh, we praise you for your power, which is beyond compare. We worship you for your wisdom, which is beyond understanding. You can meet all of our needs. As we gather, may we remember those who are not with us today. For those who are sick, we ask for your healing. And for those away from us, we ask for your blessings to be upon them. We pray for the leaders of all nations, of all the world leaders, that many important and critical situations they face, and that you give them wisdom to do your will. We ask for your guidance and direction for us as a church. And may we give our offerings to you with gladness and joy. Everything we have belongs to you, and we rejoice to give some of your abundant gifts back to us. Bless these tithes and offerings we give today. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And if we could, the children come forward for the message this morning.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning, Ellen Clark. Been a while. Good to see you here. So this week, I was thinking we start a new season kind of this week, at least a season in the church, a season called Advent. And I was cleaning out some things, or I was looking for some things to bring as an illustration this morning, and I came across this. Now, this goes back to the days my sons were in Scouts. You know what that is? Clark, you know what that is? That's a Boy Scout uniform, right? Right. And what is the motto of the Boy Scouts? It's always to what? Do you know? Anybody out there know? Be prepared. Yes, be prepared. Always be prepared. Well, this morning we start the season of Advent, and it's about being prepared, okay? But it's about being prepared for Jesus, okay? Being prepared for Jesus coming. Now, that sounds kind of strange because Jesus already came, right? Yeah, 2,000 years ago, Jesus already came. And the Landises lit that first candle of Advent up there. We called it the Candle of Hope. In this idea of being prepared, being ready, getting ready for Jesus coming. But how do you get ready for something that already happened? Kind of hard, isn't it? Well, that's part of Advent is getting our hearts ready again. Okay, we do this every year. So it's getting ready again for Jesus coming and being ready for his coming. So Jesus came once 2,000 years ago, but also Jesus is going to come again someday in the future. So although we might not, it might seem strange to get ready for something that already happened, well, there's also getting ready for Jesus to come again, getting our hearts ready and getting our hearts and minds ready. So it's all about being prepared, okay? Being prepared for that time when Jesus comes again. So there is some preparation that we need to do during this time. And it's not just putting up decorations and getting meals ready and things like that. It's preparing our hearts for Jesus coming. Let's say a prayer together, okay? God, we thank you that Jesus came 2,000 years ago. We thank you for sending him into the world. And as we go through the season of Advent, help us to prepare ourselves, but also help us not just to remember his birth, but also to prepare ourselves for his coming again. And we pray that you'd be with the children here this morning, all of the children in our church, as they prepare themselves for his coming. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks.
Our second scripture this morning comes from Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And now this morning's message.
Well, just 3 days ago, many of us gathered with family and friends around tables filled with turkey or whatever else your family traditions might have included in your Thanksgiving meal. For my family, the Thanksgiving table isn't complete without a big bowl full of mashed rutabagas, a tradition that came through Kathy's family. Now, some of you might not even know what a rutabaga is. Sometimes they're called Canadian turnips or yellow turnips. And one of the problems with rutabagas is that they're really big and they're really hard. They're about the size of a softball. And actually, one of the ones we had was bigger than a softball, almost soccer ball size this time. But you need to be very careful when peeling and slicing them, which is usually my job. They have a sweeter and milder taste than white turnips, and they go really well with turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and all those other Thanksgiving standards. And our children have adopted the tradition, and for my family, no Thanksgiving dinner would be complete without rutabagas. Well, while Thanksgiving is behind us for another year, today marks the beginning of another season with its own traditions. Decorated trees, carols, colored lights, gift giving. And while the retail industry would have us believe that Black Friday is the official start of the Christmas season, for Christians, today is the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of our Christmas preparation and celebration. And that word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, meaning arrival. And it's that four-week period prior to Christmas, observed by Christians as a time of expectant waiting and preparation for the celebration of the Nativity of Jesus on December 25th. Now, in some ways, this time of waiting and preparation might seem kind of strange. I mean, why do you wait and prepare for something that has already happened? That's certainly a curious practice, but maybe not quite as strange as it might seem. I'm reminded of the times when Kathy was expecting our three children, or more recently, our son and daughter-in-law expecting their twin daughters. When a child is in the womb, the child is certainly real, even though you can't hold the baby in your arms. But you know the baby's there because the mother's body changes and those little flutters turn into kicks. Today, ultrasounds reveal a picture of the baby. Back when we were expecting our children and ultrasound technology was just beginning to be used, those pictures, well, we had to take the doctor's word for it because it was really hard to tell that what you were looking at was actually a picture of a baby. Today, those ultrasounds are almost like a photograph. When a baby's in the mother's womb, the child is very real and already here, but not yet born. Here, but not yet. That kind of describes Advent as well. The season of Advent messes with our notion of time. We ponder an event that happened in the past, but also an event that can have an impact on our present. And at the same time, an event that gives us hope for the future. Here, but not yet. In Romans 13, the Apostle Paul discussed this notion of time. He said, "You know what time it is. The time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here." Wake up. Don't you love the sound of an alarm at 5 or 6 in the morning? It's falling off. Hold on. When I need an alarm, I use one on my cell phone, and it has this snooze button. Just one tap and I can get another 9 minutes of sleep if I would like. And then another obnoxious noise 9 minutes later. Now you might think those extra 9 minutes are beneficial, but I read recently that hitting the snooze button can actually make you more tired throughout the day. According to Robert S. Rosenberg, the medical director of the Sleep Disorder Centers in Prescott Valley of Flagstaff, Arizona, when you hit the snooze button repeatedly, you're doing two negative things to yourself. First, you're fragmenting what little extra sleep you're getting, so it's a poor quality. Second, you're starting to put yourself through a new sleep cycle so that you aren't giving yourself enough time to finish. This can result in a persistent grogginess throughout the day. And scientists call this grogginess sleep inertia. The same kind of feeling of disorientation and lethargy you get when you're wakened from a deep sleep. It slows down your decision-making abilities, impairs your memory, and hurts your general performance once you get out of bed. And even worse, coffee doesn't erase its effects. In Romans, Paul urges us to wake up. But he's not talking about waking from physical sleep, but rather to wake up from spiritual grogginess. In Matthew 24, twice Jesus tells us to keep watch. And in Mark's version, 3 times Jesus repeats, keep awake. And you know, for Jesus to repeat this so emphatically, maybe he's trying to tell us something important. Jesus and Paul both admonish us to keep awake, because spiritual grogginess dulls us to what is truly important. And by falling asleep, spiritually speaking, we miss out on what God is calling us to be and to do. We can lose our sense of purpose. So don't snooze spiritually. To see and to truly experience the coming of Christ in our own lives and in the world requires a constant spiritual attentiveness. Requires that we are consistently preparing ourselves for Jesus' unexpected coming into our lives and into the world around us. It might seem strange to read Jesus' words in Matthew 24 about his second coming on this first Sunday of Advent, when we begin focusing on his first coming. But as much as Advent is about recalling Jesus' first coming, it is also a time for we who live 2,000 years after that first Advent to prepare ourselves for his second coming. 2,000 years ago, people weren't prepared for Christ's coming. Yes, the Jewish people were looking for a Messiah who would come and rescue them from the worldly powers like the Romans. But the way Jesus came and why he came was totally unexpected. His mother and his earthly father were taken by surprise by the turn of events that led to his birth. His birth went largely unnoticed by the Jewish religious elite in Jerusalem and by the powerful Romans. The shepherds, like most people on the night of his birth, were going about their normal routines. And especially for those shepherds, Jesus' arrival was like one big cosmic alarm clock. And after waking from their sleep and seeing the child, recall that they told everybody about what they had seen and heard. I have a feeling that many of our preconceived ideas about what Jesus' second coming might be like will cause us to be equally as surprised when he comes again. Maybe some of you have started your holiday shopping. Maybe some of you have it done already. Maybe some of you actually go to a physical retail store rather than online. While you're out and about, in the mall or wherever, have you ever stopped to people watch this time of year? Have you noticed how many people seem to be hurried and bleary-eyed? They have lists and plans to complete and only a limited time to do it all. If we're not careful, we can become so distracted by things in the long run that don't really matter. We can become so physically tired this season of the year that we lose sight of what matters most. And in our physical tiredness, we could become just as spiritually tired. You rush to get to church on Christmas Eve, hoping to just have a little time for spiritual things. But even then, your mind is focused on wrapping those last-minute gifts, or guests coming, or traveling to be done, Christmas dinner plans, and so on. Keep awake, keep alert, Jesus said. Always and especially as we 21st century believers look to his second coming. So I think the challenge for each of us 4 weeks out from Christmas is to take a deep breath, slow down, pace ourselves, and make room each day for what is really important. Preparing ourselves, whether it be for recalling Jesus' first coming on Christmas or preparing ourselves to be ready for his second coming. Either way, we need to be preparing ourselves to allow Jesus to be born into our hearts and lives again, or maybe for the first time. Does your day start out something like this? The alarm clock goes off. You hit it once, maybe twice, maybe three times. Then you get out of bed. You take off your pajamas, take a shower. You guys might shave, and then you get dressed for the activities of the day. Well, in that Romans reading this morning, Paul speaks of preparation when he says, remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes, like when you take off your PJs. Put on the shining armor of right living. In other words, clean yourself up a bit. And then clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, get spiritually dressed for the activities of the day. Well, the alarm has sounded, and there's no snooze button here. It's time to wake up. Time to put off our spiritual slumber, our spiritual grogginess, to wake up to what God has done and is doing and will do in our lives and in the world. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. And when Scripture speaks of night, it's referring to the present time when dark deeds and evil desires can control our lives. Day refers to the time of Christ's coming. The night, the time of wild parties, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, immoral living, quarreling, and jealousy, just a few of those dark deeds and evil desires that Paul mentions. The time for the tempter, the time when the deceiver, the one who Paul calls the God of this world, the one who blinds our minds, that time, Paul says, is almost gone. The day, the time of Christ's coming again, the time when evil will be exposed for what it is, the time when righteousness, justice, and peace, the time when God's love will be fully manifested, the time of salvation is almost here. Indeed, it is unfolding right around us if we're awake enough to see it. So are you spiritually awake? Or is there something that's causing some spiritual grogginess in your life? Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol is a great story for the Advent season because it's a story in which past, present, and future come together for the main character, Ebenezer Scrooge. And while it's a story about Scrooge's love for money and his self-centeredness, it's also a story about how Scrooge can't lay aside his past. As the story opens, the fact is established that Scrooge's former business partner, Jacob Marley, has been dead for some time. Dickens makes note that Scrooge never painted out old Marley's name, There it stood years afterwards above the warehouse door, Scrooge and Marley. Well, Scrooge seemed to cling to the past because his maybe one and only friend, Marley, represented the only things in which Scrooge trusted: hard work, frugality, discipline, and those things that can be weighed, measured, and counted. Scrooge is stuck in the past and can't move forward because he can only weigh, measure, and count what he has already been given. Any suggestion that Scrooge try to change is met with that infamous line, "Bah, humbug." And as the story unfolds, the Christmas ghost shows Scrooge what he's missing by trying to hold on to the past. One of the reasons for Jesus coming was that he came to save us from the thinking that our past is our only reality. At Bible study this past Monday, we talked about living these past almost 2 years in a pandemic. How many are thinking about getting back to the way things were before the pandemic? Well, the reality is that things will never be what they were. We can't go back to the way things were. So Jesus calls us to wake up and prepare ourselves for what is to come. And by sending Jesus into the world, God is inviting us to lay aside, like dirty clothes, our past sins and the darkness that has controlled us. God is inviting us to wake up, to see in Jesus God's mercy, grace, forgiveness, and love. God is inviting us to look ahead with hope to the glorious future that God has promised. And whatever it is that's in your past that causes you shame, feelings of inadequacy, feelings that you're not good enough, in sending Jesus, God is saying, "I love you. Cast it off. Lay it aside. Wake up to new life possible through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection." Jesus came to show us how to live abundantly in this life and to prepare ourselves for God's promised future. So it's time to shake off our spiritual slumber and get dressed for living in the light. Paul tells us what to wear. He says, "Put on the armor of light and clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ." Why this image of armor? Well, it's not the only time Paul used it. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, and this is the Message paraphrase, he says this: "Take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. So be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open." What Paul is telling us is that if we're to live in the light, if we are to live good, emotionally and spiritually healthy and productive lives, we can't just muddle through with our eyes half closed. There are destructive powers out there, be they earthly and human or spiritual, powers that seek to enslave us, things like addictions, prejudices, injustice, fear, greed, revenge, and more. If we're going to still be on our feet when Christ comes, we'll need some armor, some protection against those powers. And those protections, Paul says, are God's truth, what is right in God's sight, God's peace, faith, salvation, God's word, and prayer. We can muddle through in some sort of spiritual grogginess we can't muddle through in some sort of spiritual grogginess because we're up against far more than we can handle on our own. So be prepared and wake up. That imagery of clothing ourselves in Christ refers back to the moment of our baptism. In Galatians 3:27, Paul says, "All who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ," like putting on new clothes. This idea of putting on a person in ancient times referred to playing the role of a character in a play and getting into the role so intensely that we live and breathe it day and night, losing and finding our identity in that character. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we put on Christ, his identity becomes our identity. When we're baptized into Christ, we're clothed with his nature. Those who have been baptized into Christ have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. But simply because we've been baptized, because we have the privilege of the gift of the Spirit, does not mean that we can go through life in a state of spiritual grogginess. So be prepared. Wake up. When I discuss the meaning of baptism with those desiring to be baptized, I tell the participants that baptism is a beginning, not an ending. It's the beginning of a lifelong journey with Jesus. It's the beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, molding us into the image of Christ. And as we journey with Jesus, it's not us working to make us better people, but it's the Holy Spirit working in us to conform us to the character of Christ. Jesus invites us to wake up to this radical work of the Spirit, a work that can take us to many unexpected places and to many unexpected encounters. In baptism, we are clothed in Jesus Christ. At our baptism, we are clothed with forgiveness. The Christian life is a daily practice, a continual exercise of our baptismal covenant until that day that we die. So wake up. Keep alert. Put on the armor of light, of right living. Put on Christ. And Paul added one more reason to why we need to put off that spiritual grogginess. The reason, he said, is that because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. In other words, if we put on Christ, others will see Christ in us. In Matthew 24, after Jesus told his disciples to keep watch and be ready all the time, he said this: "A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward." When Jesus comes again, he wants us to find us doing God's work. In other words, he wants to find us living like we belong to the day, living lives that reflect the character of Jesus. Ebenezer Scrooge had a big wake-up moment in his life. His story is, of course, fictional, but not without a significant amount of truth. Like Ebenezer Scrooge, as we enter into this season of Advent, maybe we need, too, to take some stock of our lives. Advent is a here-but-not-yet time. The season of Advent reminds us that we live in between what was and what will be. And because we live in this here but not yet time, we have some time to change some things about our lives. So during this season, may you discover for the first time or once again the event that already happened, God becoming man in the infant Jesus and living among us. Don't get too caught up in the traditions of the season, but take the time to rub the sleepiness from your eyes and so that you can see the hope, joy, peace, and love God has given us in Christ. And ask yourself, am I living as one who belongs to the day? Do others see Christ in me? But also, live in expectation and in hope of the promises of God revealed in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus also came to give us a future with hope. He's coming again. He's coming again, so we need to be ready. In his letter to Titus, the Apostle Paul pretty much summed up this here but not yet, the past, present, and future aspect of the Advent season. He writes, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. So keep awake, keep alert, shake off any spiritual grogginess, and look forward with hope. Because to us a child of hope is born." Let's stand and let's sing together. Be prepared. Shake off any spiritual grogginess that you might be experiencing. And look forward over the next 4 weeks, not just to celebrating Christmas Day, but look forward to preparing yourself again for Christ's first coming, but also preparing yourself for when he comes again. And go in Christ's peace. Amen.